You should lead us in. I'll lead us in.
Do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Ryan.
I'm Nick.
And tonight is a special Aliku Studios podcast.
I think I may be using special as a different category in the future.
Oh, never mind. This isn't a special. This is a gaiden.
It's totally a gaiden.
I don't know why I pronounce it like that now, but I do.
Because you're a gaijin?
Maybe.
You know, I tried to do that once. I made, I took the kanji for Baka Gaijin, and I made it a sticker for Forza, and I tried to put it on a storefront, and I labeled it Baka Gaijin, and it said, you can't do that because that's offensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Rad. Yeah, why are you so hateful?
To the foreigners.
Oh man, I remember, I think it was on Giant Bomb a while back, or somewhere else, I remember seeing someone who was playing, like, Yakuza 3, mm-hmm. with three guys who were Yakuzas.
Really?
And, like, you know, they were talking about, like, well, yeah, it's pretty cool that, like, you can just go up on the street and, like, knock somebody out if you don't like them, but, you know, you could never actually do that here. That's not how it works.
That's not Yakuza-like.
And look at this young asshole with, like, his flashy clothes and everything. What a fucking prick. And then, like, they're just like, is this really what you gaijin think Yakuzas are like? And then one of them's just like, dude, don't say gaijin. He's a gaijin. Don't say that.
Only gaijins can call other gaijins gaijin?
I guess.
There was a guy on Conan who did, he was a musical comedian,
mm-hmm.
and his song was, only gingers can call other gingers gingers.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And there's like a handshake and stuff. You wouldn't know. So yeah, after last week, and then the week before that, we decided that we were like on topic for way too long, being like two podcasts, so we just want to talk about some games we've been playing and stuff, because we had Steam sales recently, so there's been all sorts of shit going on there. I started playing Twilight Princess the other day. The beginning segments of that game are, like, so much bullshit.
Yeah?
You start off, and you're like, you're sitting by, like, this lake with this dude, and he's like, Link, you're the only one who can carry the treasure to Hyrule. I need you to do this for me. Tomorrow you'll be setting out on your quest. And I'm just like, oh, damn, this gets to the point fast, okay.
And then he just walks into the lake.
No, and then he just walks away, and then it's like, oh, okay. And then the next thing you do is herd goats. And then, like, learn how to jump your horse.
Yeah.
And then you go back to town, and, like, somebody's cat is missing, and somebody wants to bring a beehive home to his wife, because he's an idiot, I guess.
But you throw an eagle at it.
I'll get to that. He's just like, oh man, I'm trying to knock this beehive down, because I gotta bring something home to cheer my wife up now that her cat's missing. And I'm just like, and you want to bring her bees? And he's like, I tried throwing a rock at it, but here, I'll show you. And then he throws a rock at it and gets attacked by bees. So then I'm like, okay, well, I heard from the kids that there's a slingshot on sale, but they didn't have any money, so the slingshot must still be for sale. And it's like, kids, don't you, like, mow your lawn? There's rupees everywhere. So then, like, I go to get the slingshot, but it's like, no, my cat's gone. I don't want to sell anything. I'm so sad. So then I'm like, okay, I'll go find the cat. Except before I found the cat, I had to help this woman with her monkey problems. Which was a monkey stole something from her and, like, floated down the river with it. So now he's on, like, this pillar on the other side of town with, like, this cradle or some shit. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
So I... And then I learned that I could blow a grass whistle to summon an eagle that you can throw at things.
Yeah.
So, like, I threw it at the beehive, which did apparently nothing. Like, I just knocked the beehive down, and then I don't think anything else happened with it. But then I threw an eagle at the monkey to get the monkey to drop the thing, and then the eagle grabbed it and brought it back, and I brought it to the lady, and she gave me the fishing pole, which I used to attract the cat by catching a fish. So after you catch the fish, the cat follows you, so I caught the fish, and, like, I went over to the shopkeeper lady's house, and I was like, okay, cat, get in there. Go. Get in the house. Go. Why isn't this happening? So then I looked up a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
You have to catch a second fish, which the cat will steal from you, and then run home.
I think I remember doing that.
So I caught a fish, led the cat home.
And it didn't take.
And then went back to get another fish, and then the cat went home. So then I got the slingshot to not knock down a bee's nest or get a cradle. You didn't do anything with the slingshot. You just had a slingshot.
Yeah. I mean, you can already throw eagles.
And then I had to, like, herd more goats. And then a kid made me give him his wooden sword. And at first I was like, no, you're going to get, like, your ass handed to you. And he was like, no, we're not going to let you pass until you give us your sword. We're three toddlers. Give us your sword. And I'm just like, this is going to end so poorly. And then they go off to the woods and get themselves kidnapped by monkeys and then kidnapped by dark spirits. And then the rest of the game is trying to go help them. You got to go save them after the world gets, like, turned to shit. And I'm just like, kids, why couldn't I tell you no?
This game.
I tried to be a responsible adult. But then it's kind of cool, because they're like, well, Okami was pretty good, right? People like being a wolf? Let's be a wolf. You get a weird thing on your back. And for a while, I didn't realize why people, like, sexualized Midna a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely, like, a femdommy thing. She just, like, rides around on your back and barks orders at you the whole time.
Yeah. Like...
And then I was like, oh, now I get it.
That's a trait that's already been sexualized.
Yeah.
A bunch. In anime.
So yeah, there's that, and, yeah.
Like, I played a bunch of that game. Like, I got through at least one of the dungeons where it's like, fill up
the tears of light.
Yeah, the holy wine pouch.
Yeah, I did one of those so far, and then it was like, do the next one, and I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I think I stopped like halfway through the next one. But that's mainly because then I were you able to save?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a GameCube memory card.
Okay.
That's some bullshit, too.
Well, I had another one to give you, but I forgot about that until after you left.
Oh, okay.
Like, I ran to the door, and I was like, well, wait! And then you drove off.
Oh.
Yeah. No, because it was weird, because when I first got the GameCube, I didn't get it with a memory card, so I went to GameStop, and they were like, yeah, like, this is going to be, like, $13 for a GameCube memory card, because, you know, they don't really make the GameCube, so these are going to be hard to find. And I was like, well, let me check. And then I went to another one, and the guy was like, yeah, how many do you want? We got, like, 2,000 of them. They're $3 each.
Wow.
Yeah, so... people are mean, or dumb, or both.
I think I went to Play and Trade and get mine. It was, like, $8 or something. Because it turns out that they just kept making them, because you need them for the Wii. So,
yeah.
Like, it was branded, like, Wii and GameCube memory card.
Yeah.
So, sucks to that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think I got one of the ones that were from the GameCube-only era.
Yeah.
But, yeah. See, now, I've been playing original Zelda.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Tell us the story of that. Because you found a gold cart Zelda
I was
mess.
At... Okay, so...
shenanigans.
In New York City, there's a Hall of Science, mm-hmm. right? The Hall of Science plays host to the... New York Amateur Radio Club,
mm-hmm.
And they have this big, like, Swap Fest flea market meet gathering,
mm-hmm.
And then they also hold, like, the license exams on that day.
Oh, rad.
So we went to it, both because my family is a sucker for flea markets, and because my dad needed to retake the test to renew his license,
mm-hmm.
which is what brought up the whole...
All those, J antennas? What are they called?
Apparently those are for television.
Really?
Yeah.
J-frame.
For amateur TV. But...
Huh.
What's the word? So we're at the flea market. And I'm walking around. And, like, the first table I come to, in one box there is a Genesis.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm getting that. So Genesis, $5.
Nice.
And when I brought it home, it worked. And now I have Sonic 2 for it, but I haven't played that yet. And somewhere around here, I have an Out of This World cartridge, which I would love to play,
because
that game. But I can't find it. I thought it was in that closet, but it may be in a milk crate, whatever. But then, as I'm paying for that, like, I'm like, well, I have $10. You need to give me 5 singles, or whatever. And she was like, okay, hang on. I glance down, I look in, and there's a case in front of the thing. And I'm like, well, okay, but there's a box behind it. So I close the case in front. The box behind it has the gold NES cartridge for The Legend of Zelda. And I'm like, how much? And she's like, $1. And I'm like, yes! So, and then, like, it's incredible, because I didn't have a NES that worked until...
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, the NES works, but the problem is that I don't have the correct AC or DC adapter for it, because
mm-hmm.
it takes 9 volts DC.
Really?
Yeah. But it's okay, because we found a 10-volt DC, and that's close enough.
I hope you don't explode your NES.
Me too.
Well, no, if you do, I also have a NES with no power cables, so,
so we can blow that one
we
up.
We can blow that one up, too. Play some Kung Fu.
Oh, you got Kung Fu?
No.
Oh.
I'd like Kung Fu, though.
But yeah, so...
So you got Gold Card Zelda. The battery still works.
Battery still
somehow.
Works.
Somehow.
And there were, like, 3 saves on it. It was, like, Joel, Nessa, and... Poobutt. Because you gotta have a Pooh Butt on there, I guess.
Were there enough letters to write Pooh Butt in?
I don't. It's like 6.
Pooh Butt's 7.
There's only 1 T.
Oh. Do you get 6? I thought you only got 4.
It's like Pooh Butt. No, because otherwise you couldn't get Nessa.
Oh, that's
like
true.
It's like 6 or something.
What if it was N-E-S-A? Nessa. Whatever, that's not the point. So how are you enjoying it?
I played the first. I walked around. See, because I never had the NES when I was younger. And even when I learned about what emulators were, I didn't I learned about emulators before I learned about how to get new ROMs.
Mm-hmm.
I just had, like, my dad would be like, hey, one of my coworkers had, like, 60 ROMs. Here you go on a CD. And I was like, oh, okay, I understand this. And, like, Legend of Zelda was never among them. But there was this Legend of Mario. It was a Legend of Zelda ROM hack.
Oh, God.
With Mario's face on it, and it was, like, built to be super tough. Super balls hard. Now I was like, all right. Like, when you walk into the first cave, the guy's like, hey, don't get yourself killed out there. And the sword is sitting there, so I'm like, all right, I'll take the sword. And you walk into it, and you die, and he says, you fuck ass, that's a sword! You walked into the sharp bit! So you don't get to walk around with a sword.
Oh. Wow.
So I didn't play that. But it turns out, the game's still kind of, like, maybe I'm just bad at navigating, but I found the first dungeon by luck, and I can't find the second one, and I keep just dying all the time. I mean, maybe I'm bad at video games, but...
You might be bad at video games.
I've been to, like, all corners of the map, and I only found the one dungeon, so I don't know.
Did you, what sort of tool do you get in the first dungeon? Did you get, like, a grabby glove? Did you get bombs?
No, bombs I actually got off of an NPC drop. Or,
oh, okay.
A mob drop. And then a...
You just used the phrase mob drop to describe Zelda.
I know, but apparently that's... Whatever.
Okay.
Like, mob just means mobile NPC, like an enemy.
Sure.
And I couldn't remember the word enemy.
Oh. You stabbed an Octorok, and it dropped a bomb.
Yeah, and then same thing with a boomerang dude. So I got bombs and boomerangs.
Okay.
And I met the old man who says, the key lies to the peninsula in the east.
Did you go to the peninsula in the east?
No, I went east, and there was like a bridge, but the bridge was out, so I couldn't go that far east.
Oh.
And then, like, I just found, like, the secret way to the, like, through Hero Forest. You gotta go, like, left, up, left, down, left.
If you say so. I never played the game, so, like...
Okay. But there's this forest where it's one of those things where if you don't go in the right
direction... specific, yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the part in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
With the song.
The part in Musashi.
And the part in Super Mario RPG.
Yeah.
God, that was some bullshit.
Yeah, it's always some bullshit.
Especially because the emulator I was using to play that game, I couldn't get it to do the sound right, so I could not...
Oh.
Get through that forest.
Yeah, no, it doesn't even give you, like, the helpful hint when you went the right way. It's just
yeah.
You get it all right or you don't get it.
Yeah. That's how it was, dude.
The only reason I knew it, though...
Kneel against this wall, and eventually a tornado will come by and knock it down.
You gotta be holding the blood ruby.
Oh, okay.
No, because there's a song called Rhymes of Fatness and Greatness, and it's about... RPG, and it's about playing Legend of Zelda. And he's like, get through the forest, you gotta go left, up, left, down, left, give me a rest puzzle called stress.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, I remember that lyric. And so I made it through, and then on the other side I got killed by some sort of centaur.
Oh.
And then I haven't played it since.
Rad. Okay. But pretty good experience for a buck.
Yeah. I mean,
is that the sort of thing, like, are those carts rare? Are people going to be, like, incredibly jealous of you?
I just saw
having
one.
Having that cart for a dollar?
I just saw one on the rack at Play and Trade.
Oh, okay. Well, Play and Trade has, I mean, they kind of make a business of collecting old shit.
Yeah,
like, they got Atari games.
I didn't see what the price on it was.
Yeah.
Man, I got Atari games. Yeah. Kidding me? I don't know. Like, it still causes that certain mysticism.
Yeah.
Like, maybe for me, because I never had that game, so I'm experiencing, like, not only is it, like, the rare relic, but it is also one of the lost relics. Like, like the only people who have these are the ones who have them now. It's like, I won't say it's like finding Nazi gold, but
it's an artifact.
Yeah. And it's like, you know.
If I remember from what might pique your interest a little more, if I remember from the okay, you finish first.
I think all I'm really saying here is that, like, the mysticism of the gold cart holds up.
Okay.
That is something which people don't really rely on these days. Like, there's always, like, the complete edition and the collector's edition, but there's never, like, this is a fucking gold CD edition.
Yeah. What might pique your interest is, I remember on a Geek Nights episode where they were basically talking about what you refer to as, like, Star Road places.
Yeah, really?
Like, you know, in Mega Man 2, like, one time I jumped through Airman's boss door and he just wasn't there. And then what was I gonna do? Or, like, you know, I was playing Castlevania and I got to this weird place with, like, skeletons hanging on chains from the floor and it was creepy. But, like, apparently there's some place in Legend of Zelda that's just, like, it's this island or something, like, super far away, where for some reason, like, everything is just slightly jankier and just kind of weird and, like, am I supposed to be here? I'm not sure. What is this place?
I should check out that episode.
Yeah.
Except I doubt they will do it justice to what I think about stuff.
Well, I mean, they talk about, like, you know, in the olden days when this was just kind of a byproduct of, like, oh, yeah, this is where, you know, we stored random data, you know, necessary for the rest of the game, and, you know, sometimes you can access that through the game, and it's weird.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, since there are a lot of, you know, unique things that you can do in video games because of the nature of the media, like, you don't, like, in an adventure game or something, if you want to instill horror, you don't need to abide by actual 3D space and physics.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
I love games with non-Euclidean geometry.
Yeah.
Like, I played that, the guy who made that. It was, like, one of the first things made sort of indie in the Unreal 3 engine was Hazard, the Journey of Life or something.
Okay.
And it was just, it was, like, this little puzzle shooting, first-person puzzle game.
Okay.
That went by non-Euclidean geometry. And it was all, like, there's a red set of stairs and a blue set of stairs. You go up either one, and it's false. You gotta go back the way you came.
Does Amnesia ever do anything like that? Because I know that game's, like, creepy, but I think that's mostly just because you're powerless and you get chased by shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I still haven't played Amnesia.
Me neither. I've got it.
I have Penumbra.
I got that too. I just have them.
I've been hearing that a lot from people lately about just people getting games on Steam that they never bought.
One day. Maybe it's just bad memory and people don't remember that they've gotten gifts.
It could be. I still have a copy of Portal to give away. It doesn't help.
But speaking of that, Steam sales have been happening. You buy anything? The whole summer thing has now been wrapped up, so, like,
Blood Bowl and Monday Night Combat.
Yeah.
Monday Night Combat's pretty. And I got all of the prizes for all of the games I own.
Yeah?
I took 15 tickets, and I did it.
You were strangely, like, zealous about that. Like, more so than I expected.
I wouldn't say zealous, because it's not like, I'm gonna fucking do this, but it's kind of like, that's something I can do, and I'm looking for something to do anyway, and I'll get something out of it.
All right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I didn't buy any, like, because the reason that they do that is, like, well, if we'll do a thing that you can get something from, the idea is that, well,
you know,
we'll
maybe
also,
you'll buy a game to get
to
one
get
of
the
rewards.
Thing for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you'll also have, like, it's an extra incentive. I didn't do that. I just played, I got all the ones for the games I already had. Mm-hmm. And also, the guys at Dejo Bond are super cool.
Yeah.
Because I bought off of like their site before they were on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh no, guys, I can't get the stuff because I helped you out before that. And they were like, I'll hook you up. Don't tell anybody. Put this code in. And I put it in. Free copy of on Steam.
Damn, nice.
Yeah, so those
they're
guys
so
are
rad.
They are super cool.
We've already like pimped them before, but like honestly, go check out or 123 Kick It.
Drop
like
that beat like an ugly baby.
Their shit is pretty cool. I wonder how 123 Kick It's going, because like I played...
Well, there was a challenge for it on the summer camp thing, so I guess it's like out?
Oh, damn.
Maybe.
Okay. Because like I pre-ordered it, and I remember playing... Oh yeah, because it is showing up in my thing now.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's out. God, yeah. We're so good at this.
It's pretty cool.
I remember playing like an early build that was like janky but promising.
Yeah. And also, they're pretty good at like... continuing to add content for a while after they put something
Like, didn't they add a new level for the Steam challenges thing?
Yeah.
And then you could just...
Yeah, no.
And then one of the rewards was, like, five more levels.
Yeah. Which, I never really played around with the editor for that, but it was really cool.
Yeah.
And I like the atmosphere of, superstructures that float in the sky over Boston, Massachusetts.
I really like their sense of humor.
Yeah.
The anti-meditational track is fucking nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I picked up Ares.
Yeah, I saw you playing that. What is that? Is that like a tower defense game?
No, it is a side-scrolling shooter.
Really?
Kind of. It reminds me a lot of Abuse, oddly enough.
Okay.
You are a robot who has been sent to investigate this... like, space station that's been overrun by this gas that reprograms robots to murder people.
Oh, okay. Reprogramming gas.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's okay, because you're the first Zytron gas-immune robot. So you go in there and just, like, fuck shit up. And, like, you get new weapons, and you, like, find data cubes to unlock new power-ups and stuff.
New data?
You get different suits. Like, you start off the game with, like, three suits that are just, like, three different colors. Except one of the rewards on Steam was the Berserker suit, which makes you take more damage, but comes with its own, like, flame cannon, which is really cool. It's got, like, a combo system where, like, you want to shoot people a lot while not getting hit. You get grenades, which you don't really throw, you just kind of punch and explode.
Okay.
Like, okay. I beat the first little mini-boss and was like, you got HE grenades! Right-click to use, then. And I'm just like, okay. And he's just like, B-Naku! And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then you can get, like, Emp-Naku. It's really rad.
Speaking of combos, I saw a trailer. I think it's going to come out for WiiWare or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this game called Combo Man.
Okay.
And it just seems like this cool, like, side-scrolling platformer beat-em-up. Kind of like River City Ransom.
Mm-hmm.
Except, apparently, a major part of the game is combos. So the idea of, you know... knock people into other people, throw people, grab people, use them, throw people through buildings to knock buildings down on other people.
Rad.
Kind of game I'm really into.
Yeah.
Like, I might have just bought it then and there if it was out. Yeah, Combo Man, that's the thing you should look out for, I guess.
Maybe that's what was missing from the Scott Pilgrim game. Because, like, you could, like, pick stuff up and throw people around and stuff, but the only thing it seemed to do was that you always knocked it into your teammates.
Yeah. And, like, when you leveled it up all the way and things would just rocket across the screen three or four times, ricocheting.
Yeah.
And then you would end up hitting yourself.
Yeah. That game was still amusing, though. Music was pretty good.
Definitely. I maxed out, like, three characters on it, so.
Damn.
I should have gotten to fourth, because then I could have gotten Negascot, and then...
Oh, serious?
Yeah, that's... When you beat the game with all four characters, you get Negascot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What happens if you beat Knives' dad? Does that, like, unlock a secret area or something?
No, when you beat Knives' dad, then Mr. and Mrs. Chow become Colin buddies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's kind of cool, because if Mrs. Chow comes in, she comes in and beats people up with shopping bags and gives you a health boost, and if Mr. Chow comes in, he just kills everyone with one slash.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Oh, but yeah, Ares is like... it's pretty fun. There's all sorts of achievements for, like, you know, perfect the boss fight with the carrion worm.
Ooh.
Because the second boss fight is really cool. It's, like, in this recycling center, and there's just like this giant ass mechano worm thing that, you know, pops up from little things in the ground and snakes mm-hmm. around and stuff. It's really fun. Pretty hard.
Hmm.
Okay. And like, it was on sale. I think I got it for like $5. It might be like $10.
Yeah.
I think there's only like 5 levels though, so I'm glad I got it on sale.
What do you think about, because you say Carry On Worm, but it's a game about robots.
Yeah.
So that makes me think of like robot corpses?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think that was a robot that subsisted on robot corpses.
Okay. But I just want to, I get a very different feeling from like a game, like when you find like human skeletons and when you find like broken down robot corpses.
Okay.
Like, let's say like the core in Cave Story. Versus any RPG, fantasy RPG.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I find the robot corpses to be more sad.
If you're playing as a robot, yes.
But I mean, like, them...
Like, that's why I find the, like, the mechano-zombies in Spiral Knights to be, like, really weird and creepy.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, am I a robot too? Is this what's going to happen to me if I stay down here?
I don't know. I think maybe it's something because, like, I almost feel like it's, like, a robot can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, like, if you're a robot scrap, like, you could be fixed. If you're a pile of bones, you can't really be fixed back into a person again. So, in that case, it almost makes it more sad for the robots, because then they were, like, purposefully forgotten about. Nobody cared enough to fix them.
Wow.
Whereas, like, if it's a pile of bones, like, well, somebody fucked up and died.
You should read the, not the current, but the previous chapter of Gunnar Creek Court.
Oh?
Yes.
Does it handle that?
It concerns robots.
Okay. I do like robots.
Okay.
Kind of want to talk more about Thor Road stuff, but... I don't know. Talking about stuff.
What's the latest instance of a Star Road place?
That's one of the things... I mean, there was in... I mean, one of the most powerful ones, I thought, was EG.
Yeah.
With the whole Sector Z. Because mm-hmm. that is exactly, like, what I think of. I'm trying to think...
I never made it to Sector Z. I should go back and play that game again.
The new Marios have a pretty good feeling of... Or they do include Star Road now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, because I guess maybe in a sense it's more Star Road than Star Road actually was.
Well, I mean, I think if...
Because, like, that's the thing. Like, in Super Mario World...
Yes.
Which is what we're saying, Star Road... At least the common phrase, Star Road.
Yes.
That's not very Star Road in the sense of, like, glitchy, forgotten places.
Yeah.
Because Star Road was, like, an actual place. Like, you had to...
It was created intentionally.
I think it's more
it
of the
fact...
It
did play by, like, different rules than the main game, though, in a lot of ways.
I think it's about... It's two things. Like, it is secret, like, because you could have completed the entire game without seeing or knowing about Star Road.
Mm-hmm.
So it is secret, and when you find it and you go to it, it takes place outside of the normal world. Like, it is in space.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, like the world is over here. We're going to take a journey over here. It's kind of like being in the Money Zone.
I think the fact that it... I mean, in that case, it intentionally, like, used different mechanics and stuff than most of the levels. Like, you know, you had the one that was just, like, all of those blocks that you had to, you know, drill jump through.
Yeah.
And, like, there was the one where you had to beat it by, like, stealing the guy's cloud and getting up to the secret keyhole. So I think, like, playing by different rules than the rest of the game is important to it, whether it's done intentionally or just because this place is glitchy and weird. Or maybe intentionally seeming glitchy and weird.
That's probably part of the key to getting to it. Like, you have to play differently to get to a place that requires you to play differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been so long, I can't... We should play some of that.
Some Super Mario World?
Super Mario World, like, even the actual Super Mario World, it feels a very good game to play. Just, like, two people, controllers, back and forth.
It is a really good game.
God. Also, that will keep me from playing Didn't You See More.
Did you ever find your copy?
No, but I took back the copy that I gave to Caitlin because apparently her brother bought a copy, or I accidentally gave her both copies and now we're square.
Oh, okay.
but like, that was Star Road, and Star Road was actually kind of a place. As opposed to the glitchy places.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think that's part of, like, that's part of it, is a sense of, like, when it's, like, a place that is fully a glitch, like, when I conceive of these places, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is in a place that you get to via glitches.
Okay.
But then the place itself is intentional.
Okay.
It's like, again, it's like no credit. Because, like, there is a house. There's a house that we know. A house is something that a person specifically builds. But it is on this infinite plane. And infinite is something that is a non-possibility. So it must be like a glitch or something. And you get there through tomfoolery.
The Hergedlian Eye.
Yeah. So, like when you get, like, there's,
So it's the juxtaposition of normality and the weirdness required to reach this normalness that's so far removed from everything else.
Yeah. It's like, in Super Mario Brothers, the NES one,
mm-hmm.
there is one level where you can jump over the flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get over there, there's nothing there. You just run and it's like infinite castle. Same with like World Negative One.
Yeah.
And Negative One is kind of crazy, but it's all kind of glitchy. It's infinite. It's what... Whereas the warp pipes, they're the secret warp zones.
Yeah.
Those are so much like smaller and simpler in scale, yet I feel they capture that feeling more. Because there is the glitchiness. You have to run, you know, along the HUD at the top, past the exit. And then you get to it. But then it's intentionally there. There's words. It's not
mm-hmm.
really a glitch, but you kind of have to glitch the game to get there. It's like...
Well, not... Let's... You're saying you have to glitch the game to get there, but, like, it was intended for you to run across the top. Like, you have to do something that's not the usual rules of the game.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, it's, you can kind of see where it's a glitch if you think of, like, you're on top of the HUD.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, the HUD is usually the things that's like, okay, you're playing the game. Like, you know, they're trying to get away from that with, like the Super Metroid games, where the HUD will move around because your helmet, and it's trying to be immersive.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why I put air quotes around that. Because that is what it's trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's legitimate.
Because there's a difference between immersion, making things realistic from a, like, a visual, physical point of view, and immersive of... creating an engaging world that doesn't, you know, break your expectations, yada yada. Anyway. But, like, in a game like Mario back in those days, you know, it was numbers. It was at the... They don't build levels above that. It is never mm-hmm. expected, never known to go up there. If something is up there, usually it's because something went wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
I imagine, you know, you're trying to explain this to, you know, your six-year-old friend or whatever. It's like, yeah, you just run up there. It's like, you can go up there.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
It's the kind of thing that when, like, the first time you encounter it, you should just go, I broke it!
Mm-hmm.
But
then you have to push through that and be like, no, we have to explore this.
Yeah. Like, Super Meat Boy did it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it wasn't... They explored that. Because Super Meat Boy had... I forget exactly, like, what the trigger was, but... In each world, sometimes the bandage girl at the end would be glitching out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you complete... And it would, like, be different from life to life. So if you finished it while she was like that and you touched her, instead of just beating it, it sent you to a negative one world, which was just a bonus level. But it was playing with that idea of glitching and something that...
Okay.
Here's another thing, not video game related. It's connected because... Like, it would place that world right behind the first world, because negative mm-hmm. one. But something that they started to do on CDs
mm-hmm.
after a little while is CDs have, like, a lead-in.
Yeah.
Which is, like, supposed to be, like, all data. It's not actually music. It's basically, you know, meta tags on MP3s.
And it's where you can put, like, copy protection and stuff if you need it.
Yeah. But you can... The data you put in there can be music data.
Yeah.
And, like... when you put in like a CD player, it starts playing track one. To get to that secret data, you have to put it in and rewind the track from the very beginning of the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is music in there and shit. Like, that it's this, it's that kind of thing. It's like, do something that, as far as you know, should not make sense, should not be possible. Then it will start to happen, and then you'll see that... I mean, maybe in a sense it is like exploring runes. It's like, somebody has been here before me. Mm-hmm. But the idea of going somewhere where nothing is supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's like saying, like, it almost doesn't matter that it's been explored.
That kind of, what, the idea of exploring ruins where someone else has been, because I was thinking, like, well, is it so meaningful if it was purposely crafted? I think framing it in the idea of, like, exploring ruins, because it's like, okay, you break through, you know, the blocks at the top, and you're running along the HUD, and you make it to the warp pipes, and you're just like, someone else has been here. Someone put these pipes here. And even if it was just like the game developers, it was just like, this is a discovery. Someone put this here.
Yeah. And because it's a secret, because it's not part of the game, then that makes it very much seem like it's, what do you call it? It adds to that forgotten feeling. Because, like, there are many people, there are people who have played this, never known about this.
Mm.
As opposed to in... You played Arkham Asylum, right?
I did not.
You did not?
No.
Oh, you did. Okay. So
I don't have a modern system.
It's on Steam, PC. I thought you played on your brother's computer or something.
No.
Oh, okay. There's segments where you're fighting Scarecrow, right?
Yeah.
But when you fight Scarecrow, it's wacky, warped dream landscapes.
Yeah.
Which, again, plays with non-Euclidean geometry, so I like that. You already got me in there. But, like, with, like, the second or third encounter, it looks like the game glitches and restarts at the beginning, except now with, like, the Batman and the Joker switch positions.
Okay.
Switch roles.
The Scarecrow Man? Or...
No, the Joker.
Oh, right.
The Scarecrow is just there to start fucking with you.
Okay.
And then, like, things will, like, break and doors are missing, and it's that... It makes it feel like it's glitching.
Mm-hmm.
And that was still very, like, creepy to me, is that... It's like a sub-Uncanny Valley, because mm-hmm. it's like, well, I know how video games work, I know how this video game works, now it's breaking, what's going on? As mm-hmm. opposed to Uncanny Valley normally is, where it's like, we know how the real world is, the video game isn't quite enough like that, and that's what's breaking it. But, which is, I guess, pretty good for its immersion, then, if mm-hmm. it was able to create a world which it then could subvert. But, like, because that was, like, a part of the main storyline, I enjoyed it, because it calls back to something I like, but it is not the thing itself, which I like.
On a similar note, this is getting pretty far divorced from the Star Road thing, but you're reminding me of, in Bioshock 2, there's a part where you control a little sister, like, yeah. directly, you play as a little sister, and they, while you are the little sister, like, the entire world around you has changed, like, it's all bright, and there's, like, curtains, and it's all beautiful and glamorous everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, instead of crazy people with pipe wrenches, they're just, like, dudes in suits with, like, party masks, like, sipping champagne and shit. Until, like, you know, you find the objective point, and it just rips you out of that. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, by the way, you're in this flooded-ass jail with crazy people behind those bars right there. Grab the boots. Okay, get back to work. And then it's nice again.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah. I don't know, I was just reminded of that, and like that, yeah. like, when you started playing as the little sister, like, I think, like, you're like, strapped down to a table, and like, what's-her-name is like, look, here, I'm sending someone to help you. You're going to, okay, this is gonna be weird, but just play along, right? And like, the little sister stabs you in the neck, and like, drinks your atom or whatever. And then you just suddenly are controlling the little sister, like, sitting on your own chest.
Huh.
And I'm just like, whoa. Whoa. And that, like, I don't know, that really affected me.
That reminds me, I was able to play through Haze at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
did that game do that shit well?
Yeah, but not for very long.
Oh.
Because, like, maybe, like, the first quarter of the game is playing around with that. Because, mm-hmm. like, you're going for a little while, and you definitely see this idea of, like, oh, they just juice you with haze, like, all the time, like, right before you go into battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, and then you're playing, and you're just, like, you shoot somebody, and they go down, and then their body sort of goes away, like they might in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a while, it's just, like, it's like your haze starts to malfunction, and at one point, it's like you're in a room, and it's like, oh, there's, like, a pile of logs and supplies over there. And then it just flashes to a pile of, like, corpses, and then the room is entirely bloody, and then flashes back. And you're just like, Detroit. And then, like, as it continues to wear off and not happen, you suddenly start realizing that bodies fall and lay where they are after a while. But then, of course, halfway through the game, you're not on that side anymore, and they stop playing with that, and you're just like, oh, I see how bad war really is now.
Aw. I like it when games play with perception.
Yeah. Another example, which I was thinking of, Max Payne.
Yeah?
When they had the dream sequences and that.
I never actually played Max Payne.
You should.
I'm missing out on so much.
Yeah. But, like, there were dream sequences in Max Payne, which were very, like, because the game starts...
Did he dream about, like, jumping over tables in bullet time?
No.
Oh.
Because the game starts, and you are, you know, normal Max Payne, and you play through when he came home to find junkies in his house.
Oh.
So then, at different points through the game, you get, like, knocked out, or you go to sleep, or you wake up in a hospital or something like that, and you replay that opening sequence.
Ooh.
But it keeps getting more and more, like, diluted. So that, like, at first, it does a sort of, like, okay, certain hallways are longer, you start hearing noises at the wrong times.
Ooh.
And then, like, by the end, it's like your front door, you turn a corner and the hallway, open the next door. Now you're in a white void with, a blood drop trail, and you have to follow that trail to, like, the door you see in the distance through this, like, white, empty void while you hear babies crying and stuff.
That's some high-concept shit. I didn't realize that, like... That sort of thing was going on in that game.
I wouldn't call it high concept, but it was very surreal. It was very creepy, and you know, it does a good job of it. But and I can call back and like I remember enjoying that because of how weird it was. But again, because it was a part of the main storyline of the game, I don't find it to be. It was still powerful in storytelling and in creepiness and in setting tone, but it did not have that mysticism of running on the HUD having to break the rules of a video game. Like, not just the rules of, like, you know, you jump over a piece in order to capture it, but you break the rules of you have to look under the board. This is not a game anymore.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Star Road is under the chessboard.
Yeah. But then, yeah. So, like, I think I would have liked World Minus One better if there was something cool at the end of it. Like, if you got to the end there and there was a house. Something designed in. Something...
Gosh, you're kind of making me want to go play Max Payne.
You should.
Okay.
I actually have it on Steam, if you want to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dango.
Because I have, what was it? That game was, like, the first one to have a Matrix mod in it, and I hear it was awesome. So I picked up they had it on sale for a while ago, so I think I got, like, that, too, for, like, $5. I have more things, a lot of things to say about this topic, but I've said enough for now, because...
We're getting on.
Yeah.
We can come back to this at a later date, though.
We should. Because, you know, that's why I always end up building something like this into my Underside mods.
Yeah.
And, what was it? It's that phrase that I like. It's like, this is the space between worlds. This is the space between dimensions. It is not life. It is not death. It is not dreams. It is not awake. It is the border between the two. It is here where I will build my fortress.
Gensokyo?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's also why I was, like, super despondent, disappointed in Inception.
Oh, yeah?
When they got to, like, that very final level. I mean, I wasn't too disappointed, but I was disappointed.
Oh.
Because they had the setup, they did not have the feeling. It's like, yeah, we went down, it was the deepest level of sleep where usually people don't come back from. Because again, this also goes into Deep Night, Star Road, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, we spent a lot of time there, we built our own city, we spent so much time there. And I'm like, yeah, I like that. And then it's like, and then I woke up.
Doof.
It's like, and then... I just can't take that movie seriously because they broke their own rules. But that's another topic for another time.
Okay. This has been Analika Studios Podcast Gaiden.
Gaiden!
You can... I mean, we'll put it on the website. There'll be show notes, I guess.
Show notes for this episode are Steam Sale, Zelda Games, Star Road.
You can find us online. On Twitter at... Twitter.com/ Oliku, not OSPC anymore?
Never was OSPC. OSPC is the hashtag.
Oh, right. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us in the iTunes music store.
Yeah.
Leave us a review if you'd like. You can email us at podcast@lukustudios.net.
Comics keep going up on the website.
Yeah.
I just rebuilt the podcast page the other night. Now there's...
How many times have you rebuilt it? Like four?
Well, it's not really rebuilding. I just keep adding new things to it. But that usually requires a rebuild. But now, instead of just getting a big-ass honking list of every episode, now it says next five and previous five.
Oh, rad.
And it was funny, because I had to fix my code. Because when I built it, there was one edge case where it would take you to an empty page and break.
Oh.
Now it doesn't do that anymore.
Woo!
Let's
check out our website. New and improved.
And soon I'll implement a similar system to Aloof and Not Aloof. And the art page will be adapted into the cast page as well as the words page. And I still don't know what to do about the films page. Instead of just leading to our... I should do something.
Anyway, this is the Aliku Studios
live stream.
Signing off.
Okay, see ya.
Do it. Do it!
Go on. Do it.